One of my favourite parts of this programme is the next slot. I always love, I always find, I learn something new. I always think back and think, God, I wasn't a great parent when I was rearing my own children. But anyway, they've all grown up fine and they're all fine. They all still talk to us, so that's great. I'm joined by Shirley Smith. Shirley, as you know, is the project coordinator at the All Family Resource Centre. And today she's going to talk about something, a tough topic as always, but it's a topic that is sort of very important at the moment because money is tight for everybody. And money is getting tighter for everybody, and it sounds like it's even going to get tighter again. Christmas is coming up in a few months' time, and Shirley is going to talk today about how do you sort of bring this topic up and what do you talk about to children and teenagers. How are you today, Shirley?
I'm very good. And the idea is not to make people feel bad. As parents, we do the best we can with the knowledge we have at the time. So this is just about ways to put extra things in your toolkit, really. I thought this was relevant just because, like, everything, the price of everything is going up and we're coming up to Christmas, as you said. And very often, parents don't broach the subject or think, I need to say something, but I don't know what to say. And it's better to have the conversation with children and teenagers. They know there's a change. They know there's a shift. So you're better off kind of having the chat with them. So don't shy away from it is what I'd say. But how we do it is the key bit, I suppose, when we're sharing anything. Yeah. So when it comes to financial stress, it's often appropriate to talk about what you're doing with your money rather than what you can't do. So, for example, telling children that you're saving your money to pay the electric bill rather than telling them that they can't afford new runners. So switch it up. Instead of saying we can't do this or we can't do that, or start talking about what you are doing with the money. So I'm saving for the electricity bill. So I know you like those trainers, but it'll have to wait until I have the money for it. Do you know?
I do, and that's a very clever way of doing it, in fact, rather than just saying, I can't, we can't afford, which I presume would cause anxiety for the child anyway, or could
easily.
Well,
they kick off, usually. Nobody likes to be told no. So when we're told no, it can lead to a challenge. You know, parents might find that they're getting challenged. But if we talk it about what we are doing with the money and saying, look, I know you'd really like those, but I'm saving my money for the electricity bill right now. When I have the money, we'll look at it again. So you're not saying no outright. Yeah. some of the key points, I suppose, one is to kind of explain the family priority. So sitting down with the children and sharing what steps you're taking to address the situation, such as I'm working extra hours so we'll have a little more money. Or I'm meeting some people who are going to help us pay the rent this month. So having the chat openly is better, but not giving too much information. Letting them know that you've got this. You know, yes, there's change. We'll have to tighten our belts a little bit, but I've got this and I have a plan. Or you might say something like, we're not going to spend money on things we don't need this month. But we can still have fun by doing things that don't cost money, like going to the park or playing games. So again, it's focusing on the positive. What can you do rather than what you can't do? The next key aspect, I'd say, is to reassure children. So although it's okay to be straightforward and share that you're curbing some expenses and reprioritising your spending, try your best to comfort your child's concerns. So if they are worried, relay the concerns. I've got this. And a healthy message involves a simple explanation of what children can expect and some reassurance that the adults have it under control.
Okay.
Telling them what it's going to look like. So we're not going to go to the cinema, or we're going to cut back on our takeouts, or you know what I mean?
I do.
But we're doing this because... because children feel safe when you acknowledge the stress but reassure them that the adults are handling the situation.
Okay.
So don't worry, I've got this. Try to shield children as well. That's another key message from adult implications. So very often we might be on the phone and the children are elsewhere in the house, or we might be chatting to our friend in the kitchen and knowing that the children are somewhere in the house. Children overhear a lot more than we think. So if we're going to have those conversations, try and have those conversations when the children aren't around.
Yeah, because you could undo all the good you've done in trying to explain everything and then suddenly have a phone call with somebody and whatever comes out, it could be totally sort of undo any good you've done.
Yeah, so, and they're like chameleons. You think they're not listening, but they could actually be listening. So I would say try and not have them experience that by not maybe taking calls if it's from the landlord and you know that you haven't paid the rent or that there's issues with the rent or whatever. If you're, say, standing right next to your child, that you might go outside the house or, you know, wait till you're separate from them. And then there are different things to kind of like different age children.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Like, obviously, the approach you will have with a younger child is different to the approach you'll have with a moody teenager or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So different age groups need different information. So what I'd say is like preschoolers or children under five, they're so young. They don't need any information. They're going to just go with the, you know, the accepting the changes. They're not going to get it. You know, they have no concept of money. So really, you're best not having the conversation with the under fives.
Okay.
With primary school age, children at this age can handle simple explanations about how you're saving to pay certain bills or how you're using your money to buy the most important things right now. So they can understand that. So they're doing maths and simple maths, so they can understand mommy's trying to save for a bill right now, so I don't have the money to buy whatever it is that they're looking at in the shop. But when I do have the money, we'll look at it again. So that's the key bit to kind of say to them. 10 to 12 year olds, so they're the tweens. So they're kind of strange because they're moving from childhood into teenage years. So for some, they're very teenager-y, and for others, they're very much still a primary school child. It depends on their development. So tweens can tolerate more detailed conversations, is what I'd say, about financial situation. So you might tell them that you're not able to afford certain brands of clothing or trips to restaurants because you need to pay for the necessities first. And if you wish, you can also open with them if you get assistance from others. So you might say, I'm asking my dad to help me out this month because things are a bit tight, or I've contacted some people to help us out with the bills this month, if it's the St. Vincent de Paul, say, for example, that you've contacted. And that just gets them thinking that if you have a problem, that there's a group of people, there's a support network that your parent has around them, which reassures them and helps them to worry less.
Okay.
Then with teenagers are the easier ones to talk with about money troubles. Teens can learn the value of money by having conversations that teach them what things cost. So it's a good opportunity, I suppose, to teach teenagers how much things are. So you might turn it into hours worked. For example, explain how many hours you work to buy groceries, or how many hours you work to pay for the electricity bill, or roughly what percentage of your social welfare goes towards food or electricity. So you're teaching them life skills and how much of something actually costs. So by comparing, like giving a percentage, it's a very real, it's easier for them to understand then how much of your money is going on food or electricity, or how many hours you've had to work to pay for the groceries this week. They're very tangible and teenagers get it. While you don't want to make your teenager feel guilty for how much they eat or how much electricity they use, it can be helpful for them to realise that it takes a lot of effort to cover the basic expenses. So this might help them see that you're not saying no to things because you don't want them to have those things. Rather, you just don't have the money for it as a family right now. And that really helps them because they can be very much, I want, everybody else has got. You know what I mean?
I do, yeah.
I have the trainer. I need the trainers because all my friends are wearing them. So these are ways that you can get around that. You can also explain they can do things to help, such as keeping an eye on the amount of time they spend in the shower. A lot of teenagers love the shower. And it's one of the most expensive appliances in the house.
The greatest crime in our house growing up was to leave the immersion on.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I remember those days. Or switching sockets off of the wall. And a lot of teenagers are into climate action change and doing their bit for the climate. So this is another way that they can also do it for it helps with the climate action change and the little bit that they can do. A key part, I suppose, is when we're stressed about finances, as adults, we can catastrophize and think, oh no, this is, you know, I'm going to get kicked out because I can't pay the rent, or my electricity is going to get turned off, or whatever. So avoid catastrophizing is what I'd say. Definitely don't overshare with your children the worst possible outcomes for your family in relation to money troubles. But by this, we mean telling children or teenagers how things could potentially get worse. Try and stick to the facts as they currently are. Children and teenagers are usually only worried about how changes will impact them and how their needs will be met. So if we kind of think, you know, if you're saying, look, if I buy you these trainers, I won't be able to pay the rent, then we'll get kicked out. That's not a healthy way to go. So try and avoid over catastrophizing.
And I presume that's with all age groups, but you're probably more likely to do it with the teenagers, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah, you are. But really with any of the age groups, yeah, it's definitely not the way to go. The biggest thing I think for any parent who is struggling and finding things are tight, especially if they think they're running up debts and, you know, that they're more in the red than they are in the black at the end of any week, is to seek support for themselves. It is the fastest way to reduce your stress. So if you're experiencing financial difficulties, contact the St. Vincent de Paul. The main office is in Tucky Street, but you can let them know that you're looking to speak to somebody from Youghal, and somebody from Youghal will ring you back. The number for them is 021-427-0444. And the Vincent de Paul are fantastic. You can also contact the Social Welfare Office. And you might think, why? But if you're on social welfare and you've extras to pay or things aren't adding up for you, you can go in and explain to them that you're having difficulties and seek support from them. And the number for the office there is 024-250-20. And they're in, that's in Youghal. And lastly, MABS, the Money and Budgeting
Absolutely.
Service.
And they're a very good service.
They're a free service. They are government funded, so it is going to be impartial advice. But they really will help you. And you might think, how? Like, I can't see a way out of this that you've tried everything. But I would say ring MABS, have an appointment with them, and they do come up with solutions.
They do, and they come up with sort of imaginative solutions. And they come up. I've had some friends who've gone through MABS and absolutely found it brilliantly.
Yes, and it's free. And I'd say to parents as well that all of the services I've named, so that's the Vincent de Paul, the Social Welfare Office, MABS, Money and Budgeting Service, they are used to parents or families ringing up saying that they can't make ends meet financially. And they have a great amount of experience in dealing with this issue. So you will be met with confidentiality, with compassion and kindness. They are very solution focused. So don't be afraid to pick up the phone.
Absolutely. And really, from all your talk about talking to teenagers, seek support for yourself is probably the most important takeaway bit from this talk, isn't it, in a way?
Yeah, because if we can reduce the stress or if we can find a way out, then how we react and how we chat with our children, it all has a knock-on effect. You know, our children can see on our faces when we're stressed, even if we say everything's fine. So seeking support does not make you weak. It makes you strong. And like what I say to people, you know, not to be ashamed of having to ring up and seeking advice or seeking support from someone like the Vincent de Paul. Like at the moment, you might find that things are tight, but when you're back on the up and things are good for you, you can always donate to the Vincent de Paul to help another family when that might be in your situation in your future and pay it forward that way. So like people donate simply because they want families not to be stuck. very often the biggest donors to the Vincent de Paul are people that have had help from their service in the past. So, like, it's just for now. It's the right now. Stay in the moment. Don't catastrophize. Get support. Reduce the stress.
As always, Shirley, thanks a million. As I say, I always enjoy these talks. I learn something new every time you come on, and I'm absolutely delighted. Thank you for that. That's absolutely brilliant, and some great, great advice there.
Thanks, Declan.